All right, so we're holding on Bays on the Bays, second line from the bottom. We talked about, so the Mishnah told us that an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, Machlokas, Bishana, Bishilo, whether you're allowed to eat it. And so far, we have two reasons why Bishilo should say it's also. One is Rav Nachman, that it's a matter of Mukhtza, and that Bishilo holds in that regard, like Rav Yehuda, who's Machmer on Mukhtza. And the other was Rabbah, with his concept of Hachana de Rabbah, that food for Shabbos or for Yom Tov has to have been prepared beforehand, and since the egg finishes developing inside the chicken from the day before, so we're talking specifically. So the actual din would apply only when Yom Tov or Shabbos, or when Yom Tov is right before or after Shabbos. And the Dirabbanan, we also include the cases where Yom Tov comes out in the middle of the week. Okay, so more reasons why we should say the egg is also according to Bishilo. Rav Yosef Amar Gzeirim is from Peiros HaNoshrim. Rav Yosef says it's nothing to do with Mukta, it's sort of to do with Mukta. It's a Gzeira because you're not allowed to eat fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and so therefore, by the same token, then you're not allowed to eat the egg because the egg coming out of the chicken is similar to fruit coming off a tree. So that's the thing. So on the face of it, what it means is that fruit falling off the tree itself is gzeira d'rabbanan. We'll talk about the fact that it wasn't Mukhan before Shabbos. We'll get back to that point in a second. Anyway, so it sounds like that's Gzeira Dirabbanan, and then we have an additional Gzeira to support that and say the egg. So Amale Abaye, Peiros HaNoshrim, Taima Mai. So Abaye says, what do you mean though? After all, the only reason why you wouldn't be able to eat fruit that falls off the tree is Gzeira Shemiyala V'yiflosh, because the Gzeira that the Chachamim made, because otherwise you might climb up the tree and then detach the fruit. Well, then he goof a gzeira. So it comes out that itself is a gzeira. V'anan nekum v'nigz a gzeira l'gzeira. Or we're going to make a gzeira on top of a gzeira. The Chachamim don't do that. Rashi points out at the bottom of Beis on a Beis that the idea is, since the Pasuk says, how do we know b'chlal that the Chachamim have the ability to make gzeiras? Is because the Pasuk says, u'shmautim es mishmauti, you should guard my garden. So that means, in other words, they need a mishmeres for the Torah, not a mishmeres for another mishmeres. They don't make a gzeira to support another gzeira. So how do we do that? And the answer is kol achad gzeira. According to that, we would say it's all part of one gzeira. The Chachamim made a rule that anything that comes off its parent on Shabbos is also. So that means fruit that comes off the tree, and it means an egg that comes out of a chicken. We're going to talk about later on Daf Vav or so, that if an animal gives birth on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to shecht it. So that's a different matter. We'll talk about that then, what the distinction might be. Anyway, Tosfos points out, wouldn't you have a different reason anyway? It wasn't Mukhan before Yom Tov, and we just talked about yesterday that food has to be Mukhan. It can't be that it's off limits, and you're not allowed to pick it on Yom Tov. So automatically, the fact that it was attached to the tree before Yom Tov keeps it off limits for the entire Yom Tov. So Tosfos discusses that again, you have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon about the whole matter of Mukta. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't necessarily say that concept that because it was Mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, therefore it's Mukta for the entire Yom Tov. At the beginning of Yom Tov, therefore it's Mukta for the entire Yom Tov. Therefore, we need the reason that it's a separate Gzeira Dirabbanan. And then Tosfos goes into some length that the fact is that even while it's attached to the tree, sure, you yourself can't eat it on Yom Tov because you're not allowed to detach it, but birds could eat it, and that might be considered enough for it to be Mukhan. It doesn't necessarily have to be that it was Mukhan for human consumption. There are a couple of other explanations among the Rishonim on this. One of them is that the Balamur, I think, says that when you have something which, yes, it's off limits at the beginning of Yom Tov, but you fully expect that it's going to be available later on Yom Tov, then it's not Mukta to begin with. And over here, we're talking about the kind of fruit that very often falls off the tree. We could be talking about the kind that very often falls off the tree. So you have reason to think that it's going to become available during Yom Tov, and it wouldn't necessarily be mukta were it not for the gzera of Peiros HaNoshrin. And another, the Ramban says another thing on it, that when do we say it's mukta? Only if you did something to make it mukta. Here you didn't do anything because it's growing there on the tree by itself. So again, therefore, you wouldn't necessarily say that it's also just on the grounds of having been isketsoi, because it was set aside at the beginning of Shab, out of mind, at the beginning of Yom Tov, because it was attached to the tree, because you didn't do anything to make it that status. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is saying that ultimately, the fact that you're not allowed to eat Peiros HaNoshrin is a gzera, and so Rabbi Yosef is saying that that gzera, to begin with, was meant to include eggs that are laid on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yitzchak says another reason why, here, we just walked in time. We have Rabbi Yosef and then Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, Gzeira Mashkin Shazavu. Another reason is a Gzeira because the Chacham made a Gzeira because it might be confused with liquid that flowed out. Namely, if you have grapes or olives, if you have a pile of grapes or olives that you were intending to press, And then juice flows out of them on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink that juice. Because the Chachamim are concerned that if you're allowed to, then you might actually squeeze them, and then you'd be over on the Malacha of Dosh. So therefore, the egg over here is similar to that. Now, in what way is an egg being laid similar to juice that comes out of fruits? There's a few different possibilities that the Rishonim bring up. One of them is that, after all, the Meiri talks about, he says that, the liquid is right there inside the egg. The egg is laid, the whole thing inside it is liquid. So therefore, in a way, it's similar to liquid that's, at least when you have with certain kinds of fruit, the liquid that the Gemara actually discusses in some places, when you squeeze a fruit, is it that the liquid is konus, like it's all in one place inside the fruit, as though it was like inside a container, or is it that it's dispersed among the through the flesh of the fruit, and you're actually squeezing it out? So here the liquid of the egg is very much like that. The Rashba says another thing on it. He says that the thing with grapes or olives is you expect to be able to squeeze them, and therefore we're saying that if you're allowed to drink the juice that comes out of them, you yourself might come and squeeze them. The point is, in other words, that you have something to gain from squeezing them, because ultimately you want you want wine or you want oil. Here, if the chicken doesn't lay the egg, adrabah, you're suffering a loss, because as long as it's not laying an egg, it's not going to be able to lay the next one. Therefore, there's more of a reason to consider it, as the Gemara is going to say, part of the gzera of liquids and fruits. Anyway, so Amalei Abayas, again, Abayas says to Rabbi Yitzchak, if you're telling me that it's gzera mishum mashkin tazavu, in other words, that daraisa, you'd be allowed to drink the mashkin tazavu. Dirabanan, you're not. And then we have another gzera to support that one. Again, you have to say, my time, what's the reason it's also? Gzeder shami yischoi, there's only a gzeder dirabonon, because you might come to squeeze the food. Again, he go for gzeder, that itself is a gzeder. Ba'anan nekum v'nigz a gzeder l'gzeder. Are we going to go and make a gzeder l'gzeder? The Chacham don't do that. And again, the answer is, kula chod a gzeder, he, again, it's all one big gzeder. And therefore, when the Chachamim made the gzeder, according to the Yitzchak, that you're not allowed to drink the juice that oozed out, then it also includes, at the same time, part of that gzeira was that you're not allowed to eat eggs that come out of the chicken. Okay, so far we have four reasons why the egg should be osir. Rab Nachman's reason because of mukta, Rabba's reason because of hachana, Rab Yosef's because it's like fruit that falls off the tree, and Rab Yitzchak's because it's like juice that oozes out. So now let's figure out why we need four different answers. So the Gemara says, "Kula could Rab Nachman like Amri." The other three Amirayim don't want to say like Rab Nachman ki kushan, because we have our question that we asked before on Beis Hamidreish, that according to Rab Nachman, if the whole thing is because of mukta, then why are they only arguing about the egg? Why didn't the Mishnah said tani golos of beit sasa or something to that effect, which wouldn't be much longer, and it would highlight, on the one hand, how far Bis Shammai is going and being Makel, that they're matir even the egg, and on the other hand, how far Bis Hillel is being Machmer, where they're asuing even the chicken, where we said that we were talking about a chicken that was that before Yom Tov was not designated for shechting at all, were you expected to keep it only for the eggs? So none of them like Rav Nachman's answer because they you have to deal with that. And in fact, the Gemara had rejected Rav Nachman's reason because of that. And we said, Ela Omer Rabba, precisely because of that. Okay, Rabba Nami Lo Amri, none of the other three Chachamim agree with Rabba. Hachana Leslahu, they don't hold of the concept of Hachana, or maybe they're not, they don't hold of it at all, but they don't hold that that should go so far as therefore to say that we're going to answer it on a regular Shabbos or a regular Yom Tov because of a Gzeira with that. Bechlal, as we talked about yesterday, This that we're saying, Hachana de Rabba, is it in fact really Daraisa based on the pasuk that he's talking about, or is it maybe only Drabanan and only an Asmachta? So they may agree with the basic concept of Hachana, but not hold of Hachana de Rabba, but not necessarily hold that it applies in this circumstance. And vice versa. On the other hand, the Rashba adds, Rabba doesn't like Rabbi Yosef's and Rabbi Yitzchak's answers because the Gemara just asked on both of them. Abaya asked that it's a gzeira l'gzeira. So okay, they're answering kol chod gzeira, but Rabba considers that a weak teretz. Eler Rabbi Yosef, my time alay omak Rabbi Yitzchak. So why Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak are both saying that it's part of a larger gzeira on peres hanoshrin or on juice? So why does Rabbi Yosef not accept Rabbi Yitzchak's position that it's about juice? Why does he say dafka has to be related to fruit falling off the tree? The answer is amalach beitza oichlo peres oichlo. The answer is because it's not the same thing. It's more similar to fruit off the tree. The egg is food. Peres that fall off the tree are also food. La'apoki mashkin de lava oichla. Juice is not food. Juice is a drink. So therefore, if we're going to say that the Chachamim included the case of the egg in one of their other gzeiras, it's more logical to say that they included it in a gzeira about food rather than a gzeira about drink. By the way, of course, we would say, according to Beis Shammai, according to these last two answers, we would say Beis Shammai holds that it's not part of the gzeira. So the machlokes with Silva Beis Shammai would just be, was this part of the gzeira on Peres Anoshrin or on Mashkin Shazavu or not? Okay, so that's why Rabbi Yosef doesn't like Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation. But Rabbi Yitzchak, my time, I like Omak Rabbi Yosef. What about Rabbi Yitzchak? Why doesn't he like Rabbi Yosef's explanation about Peres Anoshrin? Amalach, because I'll answer you, Beitza Blua, because the egg has this in common with juice. It was inside the chicken. It wasn't outside and visible beforehand. Umashkin Bluin, liquid is also the same thing. Like Poki Peres, the Maglu Akaimi, as opposed to Peres on the tree, which are openly out there. And therefore, you can't really compare an egg coming out of the chicken to fruit falling off the tree. So that's that. So far we have those four explanations. So the Gemara says, "V'after Rabbi Yochanan savak zedem shemashkin tezavu." We can see that Rabbi Yochanan also holds, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that it's related to mashkin tezavu. And we know that did Rabbi Yochanan Rami, did Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yehuda or Mashani. Because of when Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, there seems to be a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, and then he pointed out the answer. And to have the contradiction in the first place shows that that we're talking about squeezing fruits for juice, because the first Mishnah that he mentions is about that din. So Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Ein sechtem saperes lahoitzi mehen mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice out of it on Shabbos. So that would be the melacha of Dosh. By the way, we have to ask, and Tosfos brings up over here, what about on Yom Tov? It's melacha sechel nefesh. So here we get to what we were talking about at the end yesterday about what is the scope of melacha sechel nefesh being mutter on Yom Tov. Is it that Tosfos over here and in some places, and it seems Rashi holds that way also, hold that in fact Daraisa, there's distinctions within that. You are allowed to do malachas of Oichel Nefesh, but only certain ones and only under certain conditions. In particular, one of the conditions is whether you could have just as well done it yesterday and there'd be no loss of flavor or what have you. According to them, the distinction is Daraisa. According to the Rambam and some other Rishonim, it's only Drabanan. What it is Daraisa, sure, you'd be allowed to squeeze fruit. Daraisa, maybe even you'd be allowed to harvest fruit. you'd be allowed to pick it off the tree or whatever. But the Chachamim saw fit to answer such things where it could have just as well been done before Yom Tov. So one for one thing, so a person doesn't spend his whole Yom Tov doing these kinds of malachas and not do Simchas Yom Tov. So over here, as far as squeezing fruit, so there the Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, but okay, the same dinim apply to Yom Tov as well. So ein certain as a peiros lahotzi man mashkin, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice out of it. V'im yotzu me'atzman asurin, and if the juice oozes out by itself, then it's also, again, because like we said before, xera, because you might come to squeeze it out yourself. The Gemara actually explains over there there's a difference between fruits that are nearly always squeezed, grapes and olives, ones that are often squeezed but not always, like various kinds of berries, and ones that are almost never squeezed. Tosafot Rimonim is a pomegranates and then berries versus ones that are hardly ever squeezed at all. Yeah. Anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's not so simple to say that the juice is osir. Im lo oichlin, if you have the fruit gathered together intending to eat it, then hayotze mehen mutter, then whatever comes out of them is mutter, because since you didn't intend to squeeze them, so therefore you weren't keeping them around to squeeze them, so there's no reason to think that you're going to. The im lamashka, now yotze mehen osir, if you had them collected in order to squeeze them for juice, then sure, it's going to be osir. So Alma kol oichlin Rabbi Yehuda oichla de efrasu. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that comes out, anything that comes from food, is considered, like we said yesterday, oichla de efras. It's food that was separated, so it's not. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there is a gzera of mashkin shazavu, but he says that only applies if the mashkin were there to, if it was there to begin with for the purpose of mashkin, not if it's oichla de efras. So in other words, it should come out according to him. The egg, or if the chicken was there for the eggs, it should also be mutter. In fact, Tosfos says on Amud Beis that Rabbi Yehuda might say that Rabbi Shammai and Basil are not arguing about the egg b'chlal. They would both agree it's mutter. Anyway, so that's one Mishnah. Uraminu. Now I have a contradiction, says Rabbi Yosef. It says Rabbi Yechanan, because a Mishnah says in Eruvin v'oid Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, so first it's talking about the earlier part of the Mishnah is talking about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Can a person make an Eruv Tchumen in different directions and have in mind that one should be for one day of Yom Tov and the other for the other day of Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yehuda says yes, because according to him, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two separate Kedushas, which is a point that we're going to take up again in the Gemara later on. Then the Mishnah continues, V'oidomer Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Masna Adam Akakola Shal Peres B'Yom Tov Rishin, a person can make a Tnai about a basket of fruit on the first day of Yom Tov, V'Oichla B'Sheni, and eat it on the second day. Namely like this. You're not allowed to take Truma and Maisu on Yom Tov. We're going to learn that in the last Peres. So now let's say he has this basket of fruit. He didn't take Maisu from it before Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the 2 days of Yom Tov and even the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you can make a Tnai. The first day you say, the first day you say, if today is a weekday, then I'm taking this basket and designating the fruit in Truma and Maisa on behalf of the other one. Then you set them aside. Then this, and if today is Kodesh, then nothing. The next day you say the same thing. If yesterday was, if today is Chol, yesterday is Kodesh, then today is Chol, I'm allowed to take Truma and Maisa. So therefore this basket is Truma and Maisa on behalf of the other one. And if not, then what I'm saying doesn't count for anything, but it's not necessary because I already did it yesterday. So one way or the other, one of the 2 days is chol, and then you're allowed to eat the fruit in the second basket. So Rabbi Yehuda says that works not only when it comes to this regular 2 day to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. He holds that applies, that works even with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And b'chein beitzah shenol the b'rishon ta'ocha b'sheni. Similarly, he says an egg that was laid on the first day of Yom Tov can be eaten on the second day, implying, because again they're two kedushas, implying b'sheni in b'rishon loy. So only on the second day, but not on the first day. So you see, in other words, that so he says that something that comes out, even if it came out of oichol, would be osur. And so that was Rabbi Yechanan's question. But omashani Rabbi Yechanan mochlefes hashita. Rabbi Yechanan answers: you have to flip around the opinions. In Ein Seichtin, so it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who says you're not allowed to drink the juice that comes out b'chlal. Doesn't matter whether the grapes or olives were designated for food or for mashkin. And you leave the Mishnah about Kalkola, about Masna Adam Kalkola alone. The fact that umitkom rami lahu adadi, since Rabbi Yochanan is saying there's a contradiction between those two, shmami nachad taimahu, that shows it must be based on the same reason. Otherwise, the answer is very simple. He says that the egg is also on the first day because of one of the other reasons, mukta or achana deraba or whatever. And then now, Tosfos discusses when we say mukhlefes ashita. Do we necessarily mean that we're flipping around the Mishnah about Mashkin Shazavu? Not necessarily. Tosfos says it's possible that also instead we might be flipping around the Mishnah about Kalkola. First Tosfos says that it can't be because then it would come out that Rabbi Yehuda is assuring the fruit even on the second day of Yom Tov, and the Chachamim are saying over there that it's shteik duchus, so you'd have a bigger contradiction. But then Tosfos goes on to bring from Shita Meivra. Ivra is a town in France where there was a yeshiva of the Balei Tosfos over there, and there's collections of Tosfos on various mesechtas that come from there. So he says that in fact, yeah, the mechulafas hashita would be on the one of the Kalkala, and as the Gemara itself is going to tell us soon, that Rabbi Yehuda is not talking according to his own opinion; he's talking about what the Chachamim would say. He's saying, myself, as far as I'm concerned, it's mutter; the juice is mutter even on the first day, like in the first Mishnah. But you're saying it's usur. At least though you should say it's mutter on the second day. So that's another way of reconciling the Mishnahs. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Ravina amar la'olam le'sefach. Ravina says that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you have to flip around one of the Mishnayos in order to reconcile what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. You don't actually need to flip them around. Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah about the Mashkin Shazavu is saying according to the Chachamim. He's saying so sort of the opposite of what Shita Meivra is wants to say about the Mishnah of Kalkala. So he's saying, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, after the Baruch and Nami Sharia, the juice should be mutter even on the first day. Because after all, it's juice that came out of food. So there's no problem of schita because you don't expect that the guy is going to be squeezing these fruits. So therefore, there shouldn't be an issue with the mashkin. But according to you, that you want to say it's usur, shouldn't you at least agree that the second day of Yom Tov and even the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that it should be mutter, the shteik kedushas, saying, because after all, it's two different kedushas, because the whole point why you have 2 days of Yom Tov is the sfeik of the yoma. So sfeik of the yoma implies that only one of them is Yom Tov. And the Chachamim answer him, no, it's only one kedusha, meaning, as the Gemara is going to discuss later on, that it's one thing with regular 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goldi. It's true; those are a matter of suffix. But Rosh Hashanah is different because sometimes even in the time of Beis Din, where Beis Din is, sometimes they would have Yom Tov. Sometimes they'd have Rosh Hashanah 2 days, as we're going to talk about further on Daf Dal and Daf Hey. Very much Asman Grama now, a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So you can understand then, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying that the juice is mutter. When he says it's mutter, he's saying it's mutter because he holds that he holds it's mutter, and in fact he would hold by the same token that the egg should be mutter even on the first day. This that he's saying it's also on the second day is only according to the Chachamim. He's trying to use that as a basis for logic against them. Meanwhile, in the case of the Kalkala, so if Rabbi Yochanan is saying you have to flip around one of them to make the two opinions work together, and Ravina is saying that no, in the case of the Mashkin Shazavu, he's saying that the Chachamim, why are you asking it on both days when at least you should be matured on the second day? So the point is, the reason why we brought this in, again, was to show that Rabbi Yochanan also holds that Rabbi Yehuda's reason, that the reason for the egg to be usur has to do with Mashkin Shazavu, because that's what brings up the contradiction in the first place. Okay. Another way of reconciling the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, where on the one hand he's saying that mashkin shezavu can be mutter, and on the other hand he's saying the egg is also on the first day. So one was by flipping around one of the mishnayos. A second is by saying that Rabbi Yehuda is talking with Divreihem Dirabanan, and now a third one, Ravina Brei Dirabolam. You're not talking about over here a chicken that was meant for shechting, where then you could call the egg oichla de ekras. We're talking about a chicken that was designated for laying eggs. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own svara. He does hold of a broader concept of mukta, like we said yesterday. So therefore, the chicken itself is also to eat on Yom Tov, unless he had in mind before Yom Tov that he was going to shecht it. To bring up a point that you mentioned at the end yesterday, as we talked about what we say when we say you need hazmona b'peh, so that after that it brings in Shulchan Aruch. If you did something to be doiched, then you need that. And over here, I guess we would say, according to the Yehuda, the fact that you designated this chicken specifically for laying eggs amounts to being doiched, and therefore you need a maisa in order to make it mutter to eat. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say the egg is also nothing to do after all with mashkin shezavu. Okay, so the Gemara says meisvi. In that case, then I have now the meisvi is going to be going back to again. So we have, let's go back now. Okay, so now we've explained Rabbi Yehuda. Now we've explained why Rabbi Yehuda says mashkin shezavu al mutter, and on the other hand, he says the egg is also the first day. We have three different explanations why. Now let's go back to the four explanations of why the egg of our Mishnah should be also to eat on Yom Tov. Where again, the last two reasons were because it's part of Gzeira Dirabanan. We had Rav Nachman that's based on Mukta. So fine, the Gemara is not asking on him for one thing because we already slugged him up, and for another thing because Mukta, we could say, Rishonim say, Mukta is a strong enough thing that we could consider it almost like a Daraisa in this regard, and therefore say a Suffolk of is going to be Osir. According to Rabba, Hachona de Rabba, again, as the Gemara is going to say, it's Daraisa, or at least the one way of looking at it is that it's Daraisa. The question is going to be on Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. So Braisa says, whether an egg was laid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, then it's mukta. Ein metalt lenoisa, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Loy lachasas v'esakli, you're not allowed to move it in order to use it to cover up a keli. So let's say you might put it on a small bottle to use as a makeshift bottle stopper. You also can't use it to hold up a leg of a bed. Now, how would you do that? So, in other words, it actually explains. You put it on end, and then you put the leg of a bed on top of it. Seems a little hard to understand how you do that without crushing the egg, but I guess there is a way you could do it. The Meiri actually has an interesting explanation on it. He says the mita over here, we're not talking about, it's not a bed that you sleep on. He says a kind of keli that they use by the table, which has a rounded bottom. They have it full of water so that you can use it to wash your fingers between courses of a meal. Maim and tsoim, the Gemara calls it elsewhere. The vort is, though, you need to put something next to it to keep it from tipping over. So that would be you using it for the egg. And in fact, he says in Arab countries they still use such a thing adayemazeh, and they call it chamita. So therefore, in other words, so it might not be hamita over here in the Gemara, but rather chamita. Okay. Anyway, whatever the case, so it's mukta. You're not allowed to. One idea is, by the way, if we're saying that the concept of eating it itself, we're saying that eating it is also, but why should moving it be also? So there's a few different explanations. One of them being, the Alter Rebbe says, practically speaking, if you're not allowed to eat it, then it becomes mukta because it has no use on Shabbos, so on Yom Tov. Anyway, so you're not allowed to do that. You are allowed to take a keli, like a bowl, and put it over the egg in order to cover it so it doesn't break till the end of Shabbos or Yom Tov. In fact, Rashi brings from Gemara and Shabbos that you have an opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak over there who says that if you have a mukta item, you're not allowed to move a different item in order to protect it. So our braisa would be not like that. Tosfos discusses that even according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you could have, let's say, where you're moving the bowl for some other purpose, sort of gufo, sort of makayim, and then while you have it in your hand, then you're allowed to eat. Anyway, the point is, Usfeika asura. The Braisa continues. If you have a suffix about the egg, so what kind of suffix? So bepashtus, it sounds like we mean a suffix whether it was laid on Shabbos or Yom Tov or on a weekday. So it's usur for reasons that we're going to discuss. The imnis arva be'elof kolon asura. And if it gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, even 1,000 other eggs, then it's not bottle. All of them are usur. Now, why should the suffix be usur, and why should it asur if it's mixed up with a bunch of other ones? So I understand, according to Rabbah, the problem is Hachana, have a Sveika Daraisa. Well, then it's a Suffolk Daraisa, because Sveika Daraisa Lachumra. Such a Suffolk would go Lachumra. So therefore, you have a Suffolk, whether it was late on Yom Tov or on Erev Yom Tov, then it's going to be awesome. But according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, it's only a matter of Gzeira. So Sveika Dirabbanan, so it's only a Suffolk Dirabbanan. And when we have something that's a suffix d'rabbanon, then we'll make on it. So why should we be machmir on this egg, which we don't even know if it was actually laid on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says omalei, but actually the Maharam says there's no omalei. There's no discussion between one amora and another over here. This is all part of the stomach of the Gemara. So Seifa Asan, the Suffolk Treifa, the answer is, you're right. When the Braisa says Suffolk Asura, it doesn't mean a Suffolk whether it was laid on Yom Tov or before Yom Tov. We mean a different kind of Suffolk, whether it came from a Treifa, from a Treifa chicken. We're there, it's a there. We're talking an Isur D'Oraisa, because Kol HaYotzei Min HaTameh Tameh. So the question is, Yehochi Eima Seifa, if you're going to say that that's the kind of Suffolk we're talking about, then the Braisa continues, and this Arba be'elof kulon asuris, if they're mixed with 1,000, then all of them are osur. So why should it be osur? Why wouldn't we say the regular rules are bittul? Bishleima suffik yom tov suffik choyl. If you say that the suffik is whether it was laid on yom tov a weekday, sure, have a davar sheyeshleim aturin. Then the reason it would not be bottle is because the davar sheyeshleim aturin. Because as it actually says, why should you be relying on bittle to be able to eat it now when you can just as well wait 24 hours and then you'll be able to eat it beheter. So that's the reason Rashi gives over here. The Ran actually in the Dorim has a whole arichus where he explains a different reason behind davar sheyesh lematirin. He says the vort is that when you have something which is davar sheyesh lematirin after Yom Tov or whatever, it's going to be mutter. In effect, what you have now is the harubus of min b'minoy. Now you have in various places in Shas an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that min b'minoy is not bottle. Fine, the halacha is not like him. But nevertheless, over here, when it's going to be mutter afterwards and it's going to be in effect minoy, then the chachamim saw fit to impose this din even though they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in other cases. So in that case, we understand it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, v'chol davar sheyesh lematirin, afilu be'elof lo bottle. Such a thing is not bottle even in 1,000 for either of these reasons. Eli amet suffik treifa, but if it's a suffik, whether it came from a treifa chicken, davar she'ein lematirini. It's not a davar sheyesh lematirini. It's a regular case of davar. It's a regular case of a permanent iser v'ti bato baruba. So it should be bato baruba like most other iserim. B'chitema beitzah chashuv v'hiblei batla. So you're going to answer maybe an egg is chashuv, and because usually eggs are sold by number, and then things that are sold by number are chashuv, and they're not bottle. That would work according to the opinion that when we say what's bottle and what's not, anything which is usually counted is not bottle. But if we say that the correct version of the Mishnah is that we're going to quote in a minute, that said that the correct version is the specific things listed over there that are usually counted are the ones that are not bottle, Mayikamema, then what are you going to say? Eggs are not on that list. Namely, the Tanan. What are we talking about? The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Orla. Now we know Orla is Osabana, so is Kalaya Kerem. So the Mishnah over there discusses various cases where something of Orla or something of Kalaya Kerem is mixed with others. And so the Mishnah says, Misha Hoyolo Chavile Tilton Shokalaya Kerem. A person has bundles of Tilton. Tilton in English is called fenugreek. It's also they call it chilba also, and in Yemenite cookery they use it a lot. It's a plant. It has a sort of triangular shaped seeds with a sharp taste to them. Anyway, it's considered a vegetable. It's considered a vegetable or kitnis in halacha. So like any other vegetable, you're not allowed to plant it in your grapes. And if you do, then both of them become also b'hana. So if a person has bundles of tilton, show kilaya kerem, that are kilaya kerem, yidoku, then they have to be burnt because they're also b'hana. What if those bundles get mixed up with other bundles? Va'acheres, va'acheres, and then those other ones get mixed up with still other ones. Kulan yidoku, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you have to burn all of them because they're not bottle. Tosfos discusses over here, is that actually the case? Would we say acheres v'acheres? Or are we gerdus that? Are we not gerdus that? Do we mean maybe the acheres v'acheres means not that some of the first batch was mixed in with the other, but that all of it was? So now the Isser is definitely in there. Anyway. So the mayor says all of them have to be burnt. They're all also b'hana. The chum say that they can be bottle in 1 in 200. Usually most isurim are bottle b'shishim, but you have certainly isurim, you have truma, you need 100, and then erla and kalaya kerem, you need 200. And in other places, the Gemara learns it from psukim. Well, because it's also b'hana, and the Gemara learns it from a pasuk in Yechezkel, mina masayim. Although I think it says that actually that whole concept is not daraisi. Even though we're bringing a pasuk, it's really only on a smachta. This that we're saying, by the way, yalu. On the face of it, what Rashi says over here, the expression yala echad mehem biyadolik, you take one out and burn it, and the rest of them are going to be mutter. Now, a number of rishonim point out there's no need for that. When do we say yala is really only when it comes to truma? Because you don't want to deprive the kohenim of what they should have had. It's called gezel ashevet. But it comes to over here. All you're doing is burning it. Why should you have to take any of it out? And so they answer, in fact, Yutaka shouldn't. The Gemara is just using, and Rashi is just using the word yala in the general sense of being bottled. Not specifically that you necessarily. So Rashi over here uses the expression, they have to take one out and burn it, but they say not necessarily. With the fact that the Gemara is using the word yala, that's just because that's the word by truma. We use that word where it really means you have to take it out. So therefore, it uses the same phrase in other places also, even where that's not relevant. Anyway, so the Chachamim say that it could be bottle. Now, what's the underlying machloikas? Continues the Mishnah. Rav Meir says that anything which is usually counted is bottle. So therefore, this bundle of tilton is something that's usually sold by number, not by weight. Therefore it's choshuv, and therefore it's choshuv. Dabar shebe minyan is not bottle. There's, of course, the famous thing about that, but that's the reason why Hashem counts the Jewish people again and again to make us a davar chashuv. Anyway, so the mayor says anything, including chavilei tilton, that's usually sold by number is not bottle. The chum say that no, there are only six things that are never bottle. Rabbi Akiva agrees with the chum's basic idea, but he says it's not six items, but seven. The Elohein, a goize perech, nuts of perech. So Rashi over here, Rashi explains that perech is a place. There are some rishonim that explain that perech comes from the word like avodas perech, means something breakable. It means nuts that have softer shells that are easily breakable. So such a thing I considered more chashuv. Number two, rimone bodon, pomegranates are bodon. Here everybody agrees that bodon is the name of a place. V'chavias stumus, closed up barrels of wine, those have a chashivus. Once the barrel is open, it loses that chashivus, but as long as it's closed, then it's chashuv. V'chilfei trodin, and the leaves of trodin. Trodin is in modern Hebrew, trodin means spinach. In the Gemara, it seems to sometimes mean spinach and sometimes it means beets. So whatever it is, the leaves of them are considered something chashuv. Actually, the Meiri has a different explanation. He says that chilfei trodin are a subspecies of trodin that are harder and hairier or something like that. Whatever, that they have more chashivus to them. Anyway, the kilchei kruv and stalks of cabbage, Rashi explains, particularly we're talking about over here, the cabbages that grew in Eretz Yisrael grew as big as trees in other places. So those have a tremendous chashivus. Udlas Yevonis, and the sixth one on the list, is Greek squash, or Greek pumpkins. Rabbi Akiva Moisef, Afkikris, Shabbal Abayis, Rabbi Akiva also adds a seventh thing, also loaves of bread baked by a Baal Abayis, which are larger, as opposed to ones baked by a commercial baker, are smaller. Anyway, there's a, and the Mishnah finishes off. Haroila orla la orla. Of these seven things, only some of them are subject to orla. For example, orla only applies to trees, so it doesn't apply to the shrudin and the kruv. So those, are, and then the last yavonis. So the ones on this list that are where which are appropriate to orla, then we're talking about if you have them of orla, then that they're not bottle. Haroila kalayakerem, vice versa. You're allowed to plant other trees in vineyards. It's only vegetables and grain that you're not allowed to. So the ones on this list, the chilfei shrudin and so forth, that are vegetables, those are the ones where this din would apply to Kalaya Kerem. But the point is, only those things the Chacham say. The Itmar Allah. So now within Reb Meir's opinion, you have two different versions of what he said. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Es Shadarka Limonis Shininu. Rabbi Yechanan says that the wording is, like we quoted, Es Shadarka Limonis. Only the specific thing, only specific things that are usually counted. Only specific things that are usually counted. But Reb Shimon Lakish, I'm a kol shadak for the manas shininu. Reb Shimon Lakish says anything that's counted. So in other words, according to Reb Shlokish, there's more. According to Reb Shlokish, Reb Meir would say that now everybody agrees, of course, that Reb Meir has more than the six or seven things on the list that are not bottle. But does he mean anything things that sometimes are counted and sometimes not, or does he mean only things that are always counted? So Hanichav Reb Shimon Lakish. So now when we said before that there's a brisa that says that the egg that was laid on that the suffix egg is not bottle, and we're saying so far that we're talking about a suffix of an egg from a trefa, fine, according to Reb Lakish, that could be according to the mayor, as he's saying kol shadaka limonis, as long as sometimes something is counted. So eggs sometimes are counted, sometimes not. So therefore, according to the mayor, they wouldn't be bottle. That would explain that. What are you going to say according to Reb Yechanan? Why where Reb Yechanan says es shadaka limonis only if it's always counted, and eggs are not always counted. So even according to the mayor, they should be bottle. So why not? So the Gemara is going to answer that there is actual. So Omer Papa, Hai Tana de Litrik Tziesu. The answer is that the Tana of the Braise before about the egg being, about the Suffolk egg not being bottle, and we're saying that the Suffolk egg is referring to a Suffolk of a Trepa, is actually, that would be the same Tana as the Tana of a case in a Mishnah about litra ktsias, about a pound of ktsias, of dried figs or dried dates. He says that whenever you have a davash of minyan, even if the isu on it is only dirabanan, then it's not going to be bottle. How much more so daraisa? So therefore, now we don't have to say anymore that. So now we don't have to say that the braisa before is talking about a suffix beit astrefa. It could even be a suffix of some other kind of isu dirabanan. Nevertheless, though, we'd still say, according to that opinion, anything where there's a suffix isser on it is not anything where there's a dovish of minion, anything which is regularly counted, then is not bottle. And since eggs are regularly counted, then he would say not. Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish are talking about within Reb Meir's opinion where you're dealing with an isser daraisa. But this Tana that we're going to quote would say the same thing applies to isurim dirabanan as well. And we'll take up tomorrow, Bez Hashem, what that Mishnah says, and how we analyze it. Because it's not a barrier since it's not alive. We, a whole grape is a barrier, right? It's a good point. I don't know. Yeah.
What's the point?
The question was that Rabbi Berkowitz asked is why is the egg not considered a berria and it shouldn't be bottle on those grounds alone? Because a berria is not bottle, so then the Gemara hasn't brought up that point. I'm not sure. It's a good point.
A berry is alive, an egg is not alive.
No, because as he just said, that's what I thought also, but no, because for example, even a grain of wheat or a grape or whatever is considered a berria. So it doesn't have to be alive in order to be in that category.